And then the next thing is you begin to remember your problems again. But then you remember also for that moment you lived in a state of blissful clarity. And some people have that when an illness comes that may be life-threatening. Life-threatening is an expression that's ultimately a delusion because life has no opposite. People think life and death doesn't exist. Birth and death, yes. Life has no opposite. An illness comes and you may only have a few more weeks or months to live. That can also wake you up out of identification with the story because the story becomes so burdensome and unhappy that you cannot live with the story of me anymore because I haven't got enough time to find myself in the story anymore. And it pushes you out of identification with that mind movement. And suddenly I have seen people who may not have much longer to live. That applies to all of us because it doesn't really make much difference. A year, 20 years, 50 years, it's over quickly. The ego says, oh, I've still got time. I've time to find myself. No, you haven't. Because you can't find yourself in time. Either you find yourself in the now or you don't find yourself. So it ultimately does not matter how much more time you have. Boy, that's a relief. Because the mind says, time is a critical factor to my existence. I'm not going to make it without more time. So be stepping. When something you're confronted with death, that can also do it. Or let's take more everyday situations. The greatest sportsmen know that there is a state of absolute presence when they are exercising whatever sport they do. There is the zone, as they sometimes call it, and they enter the zone and everything happens by itself. Something else takes over and right action. There's no thinking involved anymore, not a single thought, but right action flows out of a deeper level of consciousness. It plays. It takes over. And I believe that is probably the reason why people love watching some sports. Some sports are watched because of ego identification with their team. That's one of the many ways in which the ego gets a little high or low, whatever it may be. We won! Who is we? Well, my team. What did you do? Well, I just sat there, but so I don't mean people watching sports to get some little ego boost, but people watching sports because it is very satisfying to watch an action that is being performed out of the state of presence, of no thought, of absolute alertness. And it is beautiful to watch. And that may be why people love watching tennis or for hours. All they are really watching is two people hitting a ball. And when I saw it first, why is it that people love to watch that? And they're always hitting a ball. And then I started watching and I could sense at times that the tennis players were in that state of the flow was there. And sometimes when you watch that, you get a little bit of that, you get a taste of that when you see it in someone else. That's perhaps why people love watching that. And So this, there is that state that some artists also have, out of which they create. They don't create by thinking, okay, what clever thing can I paint here now? What about putting a little structure? Well, some artists do, but it won't be very great. I can do a little dot. Should I put the dot here or the dot there? Great art doesn't happen in that way. Great art happens when you become present. No past, no future. Not even thinking about what am I going to do. Just an alertness arises. Now there is only this moment. All creation comes out of that space of now, that space of unconditioned consciousness, to which the portal is now. So the artist sits in front of the canvas or whatever the medium may be and looks. If visual is involved, the artist looks. And in that looking, there is an intense alertness. In that looking, there is no thinking. Even the writer, the creative impulse that out of which the words come, is that state of simple looking or listening. In writers, one could say, one could compare it more to a listening, an alertness, a simple alert presence.